Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
We're going to be talking about freedom. And this whole series is about freedom, how much God calls us to walk in freedom. And He wants us to be free. Can you say that to your neighbor? God wants me to be free. All that was done, when you look at God's intervention in so many different ways, from the cross to our journey, we have to acknowledge that God is at work and that God wants to bring freedom in our hearts. And so what I'd like to focus on this morning is it's to walk in freedom in regard of offenses and forgiveness, walking in forgiveness. The reality is, when it comes to the journey of life, we're always dealing with this topic. It never ends. It would be amazing if we could say, hey, I got this figured out. I'm an expert in this. I never deal with offenses anymore. I forgive easily. And the reality, it's not true, meaning that it's hard to let go of stuff, right? It's hard to let go and to walk in forgiveness. And I really believe for us to be able to walk in deep relationship, there's a need for humility and there's a need to surrender. I look at my journey. I look at some situation with my siblings and things that we had to address, things that I had to address, and things where God needed to move and bring healing. And there's a need for us to see our lives be free from the things that can hold us back the most. It's harboring resentment. And if you look at what is to take offense, it's to let bitterness take root. It's to keep grudges. It's living with resentment. It's choosing not to forgive. It's harboring unresolved hurts and that you store in your heart. The reality is, I can't control what people do, but I can control my response on how I can deal with it. I can't control what people do, but I can control how I respond, to it. I'm going to share something personal that it's not in my notes, and just sharing my heart to you. I've been a pastor for like 36 years now. 36 years, a long time. And at one point, not too long ago, I felt like this fatigue where, like, running the marathon, 36 years, I looked at three services and I looked at all the challenges and all the thing that is around me, and it's like I started to wear these glasses, but what they represent. My approach was, and I start to complain on my landscape, this and that, we have a huge staff, great people, but it's still people, right? Great church, amazing church, but it's still people. The challenges as we go forward and all that. And so I kind of experienced a certain discouragement. And so I was looking at the landscape and I was discouraged by the landscape. And God whispered to my heart this phrase, Claude, the problem, it's not the landscape, it's you. Ouch. It's me, how I see the landscape. Why am I responding to the landscape like I am? Why is it playing in my heart the way it is? And the problem was not the landscape. Even though you can adjust the landscape to some degree, the problem is in my heart. And you have this example of Jeremiah, where God says to Jeremiah, how can you outrun the people that are walking in your village when God has called you to challenge the chariots in Jerusalem, meaning that you have to deal what is before you, otherwise you cannot step in what God has in store for you. And so what needs to happen is that I need to realize that when it comes to changes around me, most of the change that needs to happen, it's here. And we struggle with that because we have a tendency, and you're probably like me, it's to find my problems out there. And there is problems. I'm not saying that it's to live in like an ostrich and put your head in the sand and to say everything is fine and dandy. There is some challenges. But a lot of the times, the situation for the landscape, it's here. I need to see God change me and mold me from the inside. And when we look at relationships that we have, I'll remove my glasses, right? My wife will say, take it off. The reality is that we live in community. We live in community from immediate family, siblings, extended family, church family, friends, workplace. We have neighbors, right? And the list goes on. So we live in community. And because we live in community, offenses will come. It's inevitable. You'll get hurt. And you will hurt people too. If you're in marriage, you understand that things happen and there's some challenges that you face. And when you live in a church, with a church, there's some stuff that you will have to address. It's like this guy that is found on an island alone. He's on this island alone. This French guy is on this island alone. And finally, they went to set him free, or not set him free. They went to the island and found him. And he has three buildings, right? One for his house. And he said, "What's are the two other building?" And the French guy says, "Well, this is my church, and this is what I used to attend before," right? I heard that joke this morning. I've heard that before, but I thought it was funny. And I said, it goes with my topic. We live in community, and we'll be offended. We'll get hurt. There's no way around it. It's going to happen. To offend people, you will do. And be offended, you will be. You can't change that. The reality, why does that happen? Why? It's because of our humanity. The reason why we offend people and the reason why we get offended is that we're living with people, and it's because of our humanity, because of sin, because of pride, selfishness, jealousy, fears, our insecurities. The reality is hurt people, right? And so when you're hurt, then you will look and see through these lenses of hurt. And so your ability to filter information properly will be twisted based on how you see things. And so we are influenced by unmet expectation, experiencing rejection, disappointment. When we experience injustice or past hurts or betrayal, stress, fatigue, lack of knowledge, words spoken to us, things done to us. You know, this is living in community. We get hurt. But there's an antidote for all this. And the antidote is forgiveness. The only way I can have healthy relationship in church, in my marriage, with my siblings, with my kids, and beyond, it's to embrace forgiveness. Relationship don't work if there's no relationship, there's no forgiveness. You can't make relationship go or work and be healthy if there's no forgiveness. Like, the reality is that you are in need of God's healing, meaning that we live in a world that where we get stuff inside of our hearts. Like, the kingdom of God is here, but not in full. One day I'll have a glorified body. I don't have that yet. So I have heart issues. And so because I have heart issues, it will affect my relationship. And if the people around me have heart issues, it will affect my relationship. And what's the antidote? It's to forgive. So we want to forgive. It's almost the time to change our tires, right? But we're not too sure if we should change them, because you don't know, because we live in Manitoba, right? Sometimes we're tempted to keep our tires or winter tires until July because we don't know, right? But it's like you get your tire changed, or you're changing your own tires, and you leave your bolts loose. It's not a good thing. It might look good. It might, okay, the tires are on the car, but if you don't, If you don't tie them tight enough and you go on a trip and you experience a heel or you're carrying a haul or you're turning a curve at a certain speed, boom, a wheel might fly off. It's like if we want to have a healthy relationship, we need to see the need of forgiveness. And forgiveness is not an easy thing to forgive, right? When you get hurt, it's not an easy thing to let go. But we need to. We want to see that in our lives. And there's three main texts I want to comment on because the verses speak for themselves. And I just want to pause as I go through these three texts and let the Word of God speak to us. The first one is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians 4, 31. It says, get rid of all bitterness. Can you tell your neighbor, get rid? Get rid, meaning it's my responsibility to remove from my life, to have a desire to push that aside. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all rage. Get rid of all anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all type of evil behaviors that are specially linked to relationship. And then he gives this answer, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God, through Jesus, has forgiven us. So it's pretty direct, get rid, do something about it. Don't let it take root. Don't walk in rage. Don't walk in anger or harsh word or slander with evil behavior. He says, instead, be kind. So I think we know what kind is, right? Be kind. Be tender-hearted. And forgive one another. So here he gives us these four components. Get rid. Secondly, instead, be kind and have a tender heart. Thirdly, forgive. Because of what Jesus did, right? Just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. So we got to live by that. That's the way that God has called us to live. And so to walk in freedom, I need to come to a point where I say, I want to get rid of this. So when we talk about forgiveness, we're not just talking about the recipient that lets go of the offense that wants to penetrate in your heart. It's also the way that we're called to live, we're called to live with kindness and live with a tender heart. Like a tender heart, it's not to let a crust build around your heart. It's to be touchable. It's to be able to go again. You know the reality when it comes to relationship? As you are in relationship, as we are in relationship, I'll be hurt again. So my first auto self-protection, it's to harden my heart so I won't be hurt again, right? But when we look at the example of Jesus on the cross, after all that he went through, was able to say, forgive them, because they don't have a clue what they're doing. And the reality is there's a lot of people around us, they don't have a clue what they're doing too. And we're called to let go, and we're called to forgive. And so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 is awesome, because it talks to us that we're called. It says to us that we should get rid. We should instead have kindness, and that we should look to Christ as our example that took our sins away, him that is the Lamb of God that takes the sin of the world. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, if I comment this. It says, make allowance for each other's fault. Like, the reality is that in relationship, in marriage, with sibling and all that, you got to give room for mistakes, right? You got to give room for errors. It says because it's going to happen, so you're already prepared in your heart that it's not going to be a perfect context and perfect setting, because there's no perfect settings and there's no perfect context. So you give room, right? You give room for God to speak. You give room for God to intervene, for God to have his way in our lives and their lives, but also in mine. So make allowance for each other's fault and forgive everyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Verse 14, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of God that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. And all the members of one body are called to live in peace and be always thankful. There's a lot of challenges in these verses. Like I said, the first one is make allowance for each other's fault. We got to live this way. If we want to have a healthy relationship, we got to give room for people, right? If you expect perfection from the people around you, it's not going to work, because the reality, you're not perfect either. I don't know if that's a revelation to you, but the reality is that we all have issues. And here it says, forgive everyone who offends you. You just don't forgive those that you want to forgive. You don't want to forgive only those that you love, but forgive everyone. Wow. And he says, remember, the Lord forgave you. Remember this. The reason why you forgive is because you remember him. And he says, and you must forgive others. In the Greek, it's imperative. It's not optional. You must forgive. It's not a question of feelings. It's that you must forgive. You must let go. And then he says, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So love brings us all together, where we can be the symphony playing the same song, different instrument, but we're able to make a song that is together. And God has called us to live together. And I believe there is a battle going on. You look at the original family. You see the enemy wanting to put a wedge between them and God, and between husband and wife, and between brothers. So we're aware that there's a battle going on. And so we want to clothe ourselves with love. It's put on love. And that love is the agape love. It's linked to humility. I don't think you can love without humility. Actually, I don't think you can walk a holy life without humbling yourself. Like, we want to, holiness is to live like Jesus. But the only way that you can live like Jesus is to be like him, to embrace humility. So when it comes to love, it causes us to have boundaries. It causes us to say, I can't do this, and I can't say this, right? I don't know if you're familiar with MMA, mixed martial arts, but they put two guys in this cage and they beat each other up, right? And so in that cage, when you watch this, you say how crazy it is, and it is, but at the same time, as they are in this cage, there's rules and regulation that they have to follow. For example, you can't hit someone behind the head. After 5 minutes, after a round, if your opponent is sitting on a little bench having water squirt in his mouth, you can't jump him in that time and say, aha, you know, it's my time, you know. There's rules and regulations. You got a referee that you have to obey. It's weird, because sometimes when I look at relationships and families and also in church and in community, sometimes it seems there's no rules. We're allowed to say whatever, and we're allowed to do whatever, and it's wrong. If you want to have a healthy marriage, you need to have rules in place. You can't just do whatever, let your anger just flare up and do whatever, or say whatever and do whatever. You can't do that. You see? Like, I remember when we started our walk of marriage, and really nobody talked about that we should have rules, and we realized that we had to make rules, and we worked on having rules, and so it's like there's things that you're not allowed to say. You're not allowed to say, "Hey, I should have never married you." It's not a good thing to say. It's a root. You know, if there's a fruit, it's because there's a root. And if you let your loose lips out of anger, you're sowing something. And as you reconcile, for sure there's a place for forgiveness. But there's things that we're not allowed to say. One of the rules was, if I get upset or she gets upset, it was more us, me, because she was with the kids. And for me to leave and not telling her where I went, or how long I was going. And then it put her in a place of insecurity. And that's kind of manipulation. It's wrong. One another laws that we've established is that we don't enter deep conversation at 1 o'clock in the morning, because we're stupid at 1 o'clock in the morning. Like, you learn as you go and you make rules, because you value your relationships. And sometimes we treat our relationship in a way that it seems like we don't value them. We just let ourselves loose and and we bulldoze and we hurt. It's not good. So we want to be like Christ. We want to embrace the ways of Christ, right? So Paul is saying that we're called to forgive, but also he tells us how we should live, right? So forgiveness is the antidote for the flesh, but what we want to see is to see the Holy Spirit transform us in the inside, right? So forgiveness is not excusing wrong behavior. Forgiveness is not denying the hurt, or forgiveness is not forgetting. It's letting go of the offense, but you probably will never forget. But it doesn't have a hold on you. It doesn't control you. And the text that says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule your heart. And this is where Christ's peace is able to do such a difference in our heart, right? But the only way that the peace of God can make a difference in your heart is when you're honest with yourself, you know? When you are willing to see the solution, not only on the landscape, but in you, right? So it's important to see that, right? And so the peace of Christ comes and it rules my heart, and then I'm able to move forward. And then he says, our calling as members of one body, is to live in peace. My calling, listen, my calling beyond a pastor, my calling as a believer, is to live at peace. That's my calling. God, what do you want me to do? Live at peace. But it takes effort, and it's not always easy. But that's my mandate and my calling, to live at peace. And that's your mandate, to live at peace. We got to live at peace. We have to live in peace, because that's our calling. And then he says, always be thankful. You know why we can be thankful? Because of God's grace. God always has a solution if we want it. If we want to have God's solution, he will give us a solution. But there's a chance that the solution will not be trying to fix everything out there, but fix something inside. Inside. It might be something inside that he wants to address. The other verses I want to read to you is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Look what it says. Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look at verse 15, powerful. Look after each other so that none of you will fail to receive the grace of God. Watch out for no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you and corrupt many. What a text. Like I said, work at living at peace, in peace. It takes work. It doesn't happen by itself. And the prime ingredient is humility, to acknowledge your humanity and your need for God. And then it says, work in living in a holy life. And again, how can you walk in holiness? It's again in humility. God, I need you. It's the key for relationship. And then he says, look after each other. That's the mandate. Look after each other. Be there for one another. And he says, let the grace be in your midst, meaning give room for God to intervene. And don't be too quick to throw the arrow or the hammer of judgment. Remember Matthew chapter 7, verse 1? The ruler that you use to judge other, God's going to use the same ruler to judge you. So you want to show grace. And then he says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you and corrupt others. It will trouble you. Three consequences of a harboring bitterness. It will create blockage and bondage, paralyze you of preventing to show love. Have you ever been in a context that you are offended and hurt and you can't really show love to the person that offended you? Like let's say you have an argument with your wife or with your husband, and you haven't dealt with hard issues, sometimes it's hard to do the godly thing, right? Am I the only one? No, right? It's hard because what happened is that when resentment takes a hold of your heart, then it paralyzes you and it stops you of being like Christ. It really does. You know, in relationship in the church, someone offended you in the church, they're going to make sure to come to another service where the person doesn't attend, right? We avoid, we walk away. And I think it's not good because we're not walking in freedom, right? And so it brings blockages in my heart when I don't deal with bitterness or I don't take the path of forgiveness. We don't want to see offenses take control of our lives, dictating our behavior and our thought life. We don't want to see that. Look at how you're living your life. In some dimension of your life, is that how you're living? Like, when you do this, you're missing out on the healing of God, and you're missing out on you making a difference, because what if God wants to bring healing to other people in their lives, and you can't respond because of a personal hurt? Secondly, our bitterness corrupts others. It spreads around. It's contagious and infectious. So when I let bitterness take root in my heart, it will transpire. It will bubble up from my heart. Another situation will bring everything to the surface. You know, I'll have these glasses on, and I'll look at life, and I'm going to see it all the time because it's a heart issue, and you got to let go. I know there's some hard stuff that happens to us, and God is the judge, and there's things that needs to be addressed, absolutely, when it comes to justice. But what I do with it, I don't want it to, whatever happened to me, I don't want it to paralyze me from moving forward, right? And so the reality is that I don't want to see blockage, and I don't want to see that spill on your kids and people around and bitterness, and it just blah, 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 blah. It's so easy, right? When you're hurt, it's so easy just to let it out. You still with me? Yeah? Can someone say hallelujah or ouch, whatever? Thirdly, I'll miss out on God's forgiveness. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse, and the key word is refuse, to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's in the context of the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, we learn about the Lord's Prayer, like, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it says in verse 12, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. So what Jesus is saying, this is how you should pray. So he's saying, when you pray, approach me as Father. Pray for the will of God, the kingdom of God to come. Pray for provision, that he's going to bring provision. But also he says, deal with your heart when you pray. And what he's saying here is that when you have, let's say you're having devotion and you're talking to God and you're walking with God on a daily basis and you have time with him, you can't ask God to forgive your sin if you refuse to forgive others. You can't refuse to forgive and receive your forgiveness. He will say no. Think about that. When you choose not to forgive, and in your walk with Jesus, you're standing with them, and you say, God, forgive my sins. He will say no. He will say no to it. Think about that for a moment. He'll say no. And the reason why he says no is because of the cross. We have the example of the cross, and we have the power of the cross. So when you approach God in your daily life and you say, God, come and intervene. I want to see your will be done. I want to see your provision and all that. And if you have in your heart unforgiveness and you ask God to forgive your sin, he will say no. So you got to deal with the junk inside. You got to deal with the stuff inside of your heart. You can't pretend you can have a walk with God and having bad relationship where you have resentment and unforgiveness in your heart. You have to let it go. And Jesus is the one that helps us to let go, right? And we see here Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, the answer to it. It says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and you remember that your brothers has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother, then come and offer your gift. Deal with it. Don't pretend it's not there. I could talk about Luke chapter 17 where Jesus talks about forgiveness to his disciples and the disciples are like, God, Give us faith to forgive. Give us more faith. And Jesus says, you don't need more faith. Just do it. And he talks about this guy, a master that has a servant that comes and serve him. And finally, Jesus says, if the servant comes and serve the master, will the master say, oh, thank you for your job? No, he's going to say, that's what you're supposed to do. And so what Jesus is saying to the disciples, forgiveness, it's not about having more faith. It's just to do it because that's your call. It's your duty to forgive. It's not optional. Forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about what I need to do. You see? Practical advice of how to deal with offenses. 10. I got 10 of. It's also in the weekly. 10. I just want to share them. Take 2 minutes here. Don't let things fester or don't sweep things under the rug. You need to address stuff. You need to talk about it. You need to learn to listen with your guard down, not defensive. We know in part, we see in part. Secondly, don't make inner vows like, I will never open my heart again, or I'm done. Don't do that. Don't eliminate people from your life or put an X on them because you don't see them eye to eye. Like someone crossed you, you see him at, I don't know, in the restaurant, you pretend they're not there. They're sitting right in front of you and you're no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't eliminate people in your life. Don't burn bridges that maybe one day God will ask you to cross. Don't talk of or against them to all who has a listening ear. Another one here, don't pray against people. I've got some people, sometimes they call me and they say, we have a prayer meeting against our pastor. I say, don't do that. You're praying against your pastor, meaning that you're cursing him. Like, because Jesus calls us to pray for enemies. And not that your pastor is your enemy, but we're called to pray, not to do that, right? Don't pray against people, pray for them. Don't seek vengeance. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insult when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what the Lord has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. Number 7, don't search for people's missteps. You got resentment with someone, you're going to see all kind of missteps. Remove those glasses. Don't search for missteps. Seek for God's grace. Pray for God's healing and restoration. Number 8, don't wait for emotions to kick in before you forgive. Forgiveness is a decision. It's also a journey because healing has to happen. It doesn't happen overnight, but you need to take a step and say, I forgive. And then temptation will come, but you say, hey, no, I forgive. I forgive. I move forward. And later on, you'll be able to look at people from different eyes because you are healed up, and we want to see that. Number 9, don't withdraw from everyone and live in isolation because you got hurt. I hear this so many times. I've got hurt, so now they're not going to church or living in isolation. Don't do that. God has called us to live in community. We just got to let go and let him heal our hearts. And the last one is bring it to God. Let him bring freedom because the purpose of the cross, the goal of the cross is to bring freedom. Amen? So consider how you treat others. Consider what you let sit in your heart. Extend forgiveness. Ask to be forgiven. Pursue that walk of freedom. And you'll find way more joy and way more peace in your life. Amen? I would ask you to stand. If you're here this morning or watching online and you're not in relationship with Jesus, well, Jesus came to restore relationship with you, and that's why he died on Calvary. Maybe you don't understand the full picture, but acknowledge your sins. Acknowledge your situation. Turn to him. Ask him to come in your life. If you're here today and that's you, go to the prayer room. Please go in the prayer room after. If you're here this morning, and I know time is flying by, and you have heart issues, meaning that you have resentment and unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart, don't Don't say, I guess that's how I'm going to live. Surrender it to the Lord. Move on from there. Please don't stay there. Go beyond that. Take the path of humility. And you'll see that God will intervene and make a difference in your life. So, Father, bless your people, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.